Hello, everybody. Welcome to the OETA Movie Club podcast. My name is Jeff Moreva. I'm the director of the show, and I'm here with our host, Mr. Robert Birch.
Jeff, how are you doing?
I am doing great today. How are you doing?
Ready to talk about some movies?
I am. I'm ready to talk about some really funny movies. So we've been with you the last couple of weeks, as we've told you that this week we're in our pledge.
Right.
If you can donate, please donate. You can go to oeta.tv. Mm-hmm. Find the Donate Now button. Click on that.
If you like any of our films and our great programs here on OETA, you know, we do the Oklahoma News Report, Back in Time, Gallery America,
Movie
Sun
Club.
Up,
we actually produce the Lawrence Welk Show from here.
Yeah.
That's our nationally syndicated show.
Uh-huh.
It helps pay for all those shows and all the national PBS shows as well, all your British comedies and British dramas and all those shows that, you know,
are not free.
Trying to be Downton Abbey. And it goes to a very, very good cause here at public television.
Uh-huh.
And we joke, but it is. It's a very good cause.
Oh, yeah. That's big money. So
this week we decided, okay, we don't have a movie to talk about. So we'll return next week with Tender Mercies.
Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall, 1983, great movie. But this week we didn't have a movie to talk about, so we thought top five funniest movies of all time.
Right.
According to
Rolling Stone. Yeah.
Which is a pretty good source.
Sure.
You know, pretty good.
And they may not be everybody's favorite, but, you could comment on what is your favorite.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, drop us a note. Let us know what you think the top five funniest movies are.
Because I have plenty that are not on this list.
Oh, I do too, yeah. I do love every movie on this list, though.
Yeah.
So that's
big
good.
Big fan of
but,
all of these.
I could have gone with the top 20 movies and probably still loved all of them.
Uh-huh.
So let's get started.
Okay.
Number five, Young Frankenstein. Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Yes, Mel Brooks, Gene Wilder. Come on. Great movie.
Great script.
Great script. Great everything.
Uh-huh.
I love
Terry
this
Garr.
Movie. Terry Garr is incredible.
And
in this.
Cloris Leachman.
Yeah.
The great Cloris Leachman.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of ad-libbing in this. Cloris Leachman, the whole bit about stay close to the candles, and he was my boyfriend. A lot of this was where she's asking if he would like a warm milk or Ovaltine. All of that was Cloris.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Gene Hackman. That Gene Hackman had heard about the film and wanted to be in it. He was tennis partners with Gene Wilder at the time. So they're out there playing tennis, and he says, is there a part? Maybe I could be in this. He wanted to see if he could do comedy.
Yeah.
And, they brought him in as the blind man. He did it for free.
Oh, there you go.
It's about 4 minutes of the show.
Yeah.
And it took a day to shoot.
Yeah.
But he throws in that the ad lib at the end. I was going to make espresso, and it cracked everybody up on the on the set, to where it goes to black in the film, only because Gene Wilder could never do it again without cracking up, and they had to cut it to cut the laughter from the crew on the set.
Yeah, I mean, this Young Frankenstein, I mean, it is just a phenomenal movie.
And then Aerosmith. Okay, so there's a rock and roll component I'll bring up in a couple of these.
Okay.
Rock and roll, apparently they love comedy films. Aerosmith took a break from, they were recording an album, and they took a break and went to go see Young Frankenstein. And a line in the movie, they really Walk This Way.
Right.
Is basically based upon the Marty Felt that line,
right?
Walk this way, and so
I did not know that.
Uh-huh.
That you learn something every day. Every day you learn something. All right, let's move on to number four. Animal House. Probably not one we're going to show here anytime soon without a lot of editing.
Big, a favorite of mine.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I love it. But yeah, Animal House number four.
Yeah, there's a couple on here we will not be showing.
Yeah. Yeah, every one of these would have to be edited for us to show it.
But yeah, I'm a huge fan. And you know, this is the first one that came out of the writers for National Lampoon.
Yes.
This was, I think, an article that they had, you know, a whole story that they had done that ran in the National Lampoon was such a big hit that, you know, somebody in Hollywood took notice and said, you know, we could make a film out of that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, John Belushi, this is his first big film.
Yeah.
And he's brilliant.
He is brilliant in it. Yeah. And, of course, National Lampoons have gone on to, I mean, how many National Lampoon movies are there?
Vacation.
Now? And I mean, not just
the Christmas
ones,
movies.
Not just the big ones that you know about. There's tons of smaller National Lampoon movies that come to find out, you know, Van Wilder and you know, all these other kind of smaller name ones.
I love those.
I do too. They're all great. But yeah, so that's a great one. Number four, Animal House. Number three, a movie that I could probably quote verbatim.
So could I.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Now, I am such a huge Monty Python fan. When I started at OETA, we showed Monty Python every week. And so that was what, you know, when they hired me, they were like, what do you know about OET? I'm like, Monty Python. And,
I discovered it, just flipping channels. Now, what was it, on Friday or Saturday night?
I believe it was on Friday night.
At like 10 o'clock?
At 10 or 10, it was after, it was 10 or later. It was, I remember that.
And it was like nothing I'd ever seen before.
Oh, no. I mean, just incredible.
Immediately, just a connection with that, you know, just oh my gosh, you know, this is great.
Yeah.
You know, and I had no real experience of British television until then.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just to see this and immediately love it.
Oh yeah.
And then we I think a friend and I had snuck in to see we had gone to one film at this multiplex and then saw the marquee for, you know, Monty Python's Holy and the Holy Grail, and we decided to sneak in.
if you're listening out there, Robert Burt owes you some money.
Kids don't do North Park, they're out of
North
business.
North Park, they are out of business. Of course, because people kept not paying for movies.
Right. Put them out of business.
You put them out of business. I mean, this movie is just... there's so many funny lines in there. Tis but a scratch. Yeah. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelled of elderberries.
There are those who call me Tim. There's a story. Okay, John Cleese, you know, as the enchanter, they think that he forgot his line. he forgot the name that he was supposed to say. And, Tim just came to mind. And so, he, you know, there are those who call me Tim.
Yeah. I mean, if you have not seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail, then you are living under a rock. Because, I mean, this is a great, great movie. All the Monty Python, Life of Brian. I mean, they're all great movies. The weekly show is a great show.
Oh, there's a rock and roll element to this, right?
Yeah.
So Life of Brian, George Harrison was a producer on that.
Yeah.
And he put up a lot of money and is in just like he doesn't have a line or anything. He's in one shot and you have to really watch for him to see him. But for this film, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, and Genesis all contributed. They were producers.
Oh, wow.
They contributed money. In fact, a lot of the money that Pink Floyd got from Dark Side of the Moon went to this film to produce.
That's one of my favorite all-time albums of, of all time. All right. Well, we could go on Monty Python.
Oh, okay.
Forever.
I've got one more.
Okay, go one more.
So the Galloping Horses, right? The, you know, where they're using the coconuts. Which is an old trick, right, from, you know, radio.
Yeah.
Really, it's out of necessity that they did this because they couldn't afford horses.
John Wayne took them all.
Right.
Inside joke, if you were listening a couple of weeks ago, we showed the Alamo,
right.
1,500 horses.
1,500?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was none left over for Monty Python and the Holy Grail. They just, you know, they were on a shoestring budget.
You're right, yeah.
And they, you know, somebody came, and what a brilliant.
What a phenomenal way to get past that, that block.
Just work it in.
Yeah. I mean, that is crazy. That is awesome. All right, moving on. Number two, Airplane. Great movie. I mean, just, you know, you talk about the one-liners. This has so many of them. And
again, this is one, you know, I remember seeing this in the theater, and we didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was the first of this kind of spoof.
Right.
And, yeah, it was like you're watching it for about 10 minutes until you realize that, oh, my, you know, this is something different. You know, this is, they're not serious here.
Right. Yeah, this is a pretty interesting.
Because all of those great disaster movies, you know, Airport 77.
Right.
Or The Towering Inferno, Earthquake.
Poseidon Adventure, which I know is boats. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, but still, yeah.
All in Sense Around, or, yeah. You know. But this is actually, there's it's on YouTube. There's the dialogue, the straight dialogue, is almost word for word of the script of this film that was made in the 50s of like a plane that's in trouble, and, you know, all the straight lines are from that film. And so then the Zucker brothers just, you know, wrote in the punchlines over and over. Like Leslie Nielsen, who was in the Poseidon Adventure.
Right.
Right. Is the doctor who is a very, you know, delivers these lines very straight.
Oh, yeah.
He's perfect for this role. You know, he looks so straight and authoritative, and he's delivering these just nonsensical lines. Or Burgess Meredith, who had, you know, done a lot of these films. Robert Stack, who was, you know, really, really,
really
an uptight figure for, you know, like The Untouchables. And so, just the perfect people to put into this, you know. Even Sonny Bono is in this.
Right. That's right. again, if you haven't seen Airplane, go see it. It's hilarious.
You will love it.
You will love it. All right. Number one. Number one. Drum roll. Number one, funniest movie of all time, according to Rolling Stone.
According to Rolling Stone.
Blazing Saddles.
Yes.
So we got two Mel Brooks in here. And Blazing Saddles, again, a movie we will not be showing on the OETA Movie Club.
there's a cut on YouTube. It says the made-for-network TV cut of Blazing Saddles, right? And it's the opening credits and the ending credits.
That's about right. That's about how long ours would be.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, but you can't, I mean, this movie is so wrong in all the right ways. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Just, it's hilarious.
Uh-huh.
It is hilarious. I can't say anything more than just, it's hilarious.
Now, they had wanted Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
For this, to begin, you know, but he couldn't do it for other obligations that he was shooting at the time.
Right.
So, you know, Cleavon Little, but I, you know, what a great casting choice.
Yeah. Gene Wilder again.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just, yeah, I mean, it's just a phenomenal movie.
Gene Wilder's character kind of playing off of that John Wayne, a couple of those John Wayne films were like Dean Martin's an alcoholic.
Right.
That, you know, he's the deputy that couldn't get over the something, and then he gets straight and becomes a big hero, you know. So Gene Wilder's character is a little of that, and then all of, you know, when it finally breaks out of the Western genre and spills out into Hollywood, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody. So
no spoilers.
The beans scene.
Yeah.
Where the everybody's sitting around the campfire, all these cowboys sitting around the cowboy the campfire, and eating beans. And Mel Brooks, I saw him on something. He was talking about this scene, and he says, you know, he was reading about, you know, what the cowboys would eat on the trail. And, you know, it was beans, and they drink a lot of hot coffee. And immediately he, you know, is like, Yeah, that would make you pretty quick. You would be unsuitable company.
Right.
So, yeah, that's in there.
All right. Well, that is the top five funniest movies of all time, according to Rolling Stone.
Now, there's others, of course. You know, I would think It's a Mad World would be in there.
Yeah. I just pulled out the top five. I think if you go to Rolling Stone, I mean, they had like the top 100 or something. Uh-huh. I know Mad World was in there.
There's four Mad.
There's so many not on this list.
Oh, yeah.
That we could talk about. I mean, there's just so many.
And if you have a favorite that is not on the list, please let us know. You can type it in, give us a message.
Yeah, let us know, leave a message. And another thing you can do is send us a celebrity photo.
Oh, yeah.
Please send us a celebrity photo. If you have any photo with a celebrity, famous music star, movie star, screen, television, whatever, you can send it to us. We'll have the address here in a second at the end. Email address, physical address. You can send it in however you want. If you send in the picture, we'll send it back to you.
Right. And we'll take very good care of it when we have it.
Take very good care of it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Or you can email it to us, if that works for you. If you've got it scanned or something, that works too. Just what we'd like to get, though, is like a few details.
Yeah,
like,
we need the story.
Yeah. Where you got the photograph with the celebrity, when it was, where you were. Maybe if there's a funny little story, we'd love to have that.
Yeah. So we appreciate all the people who have sent those in, and please continue to send those in each week, and we'll put you on the air and make you famous.
Yeah.
For your whole 15 seconds of fame.
Andy Warhol, right? Andy Warhol, 15
right.
seconds.
So, again, a quick shout-out to our pledge drive. If you can donate, please donate, oeta.tv. It helps us a lot. Next week, we'll be back with the normal movie, Tender Mercies, Robert Duvall movie from 1983, a great movie that won several awards. He wrote some of the music. He sings all the music. Great movie. We'll be back to talk about that next week. Thanks for tuning in each week.
Yeah.
And until next time, take care.
Bye-bye. Make sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. You can preview all upcoming OETA Movie Club films at oeta.tv/movieclub. And please, send your celebrity photos to P.O. Box 14190, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73113, or you can email them to us at oeta.tv/movieclub. And of course, tune in every Saturday night at 9 and on Fridays at 11. We'll see you on the couch every weekend for a great movie and fresh popcorn.